Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam 11.8.9. Stokam Stokam Grased Grasam Deho Varteta Yavata Grihan Ahimsan Atishted Vrittim Madhukarim Munihi. Stokam stokam grased grasam deho varteta yavata grihana himsan atishted vrittim madhu kadim munihi. Stokam stokam grased grasam deho varteta yavata grihanahim san atishted vrittim madhu karim munihi. Stokam stokam grasam grasam deho varteta yavata madhu karim munihi. Stokam stokam grased grasam deho varteta yavata grihana tishtan atishted vrittim madhu karim munihi. Ladies, stokam stokam grased grasam deho varteta yavata grihana himsan atishtet vrittim madhu karim munihi. Stokam stokam, always a little bit. Grasate, one should eat. Grasam, food. Dehaha, the material body. Varteta, that it may live. Yavata, with that much. Grihan, the householders. Ahimsan, not harassing. Atishtet, one should practice. Vrittim, the occupation. Madhu karim, of the honeybee. Munihi, a saintly person. A saintly person should accept only enough food to keep his body and soul together. He should go from door to door, accepting just a little bit of food from each family. Thus he should practice the occupation of the honeybee. Purport. Sometimes a honeybee is attracted by the extraordinary aroma of a particular lotus flower and lingers there, neglecting his usual activity of flying from flower to flower. Unfortunately, at sunset, the lotus flower closes, and thus the infatuated honeybee is trapped Similarly, a sannyasi or brahmachari may discover that excellent foodstuff is available at a particular house. And therefore, instead of wandering from place to place, he may become a veritable resident of such a well-fed household. Thus he will become bewildered by the illusion of family life and fall down from the platform of renunciation. Also, if a mendicant takes unfair advantage of the Vedic custom of charity and takes too often from a single family, the resentment he causes will disturb the social order. An ideal sage should, like the honeybee, travel from place to place, but he must be careful not to become a chubby bee by going to too many houses and eating sumptuously at each house. According to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, such a chubby bee will undoubtedly become entangled in the network of Maya. No one should be overly attached to the gratification of his tongue, because this will lead to an overstuffed belly and then uncontrollable lust. In conclusion, one should not endeavor very much for material sense gratification, but should instead endeavor strenuously to spread the glories of the Supreme Lord, Krishna. This is the proper use of human energy. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurn Miditam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupakada Mahyam Tathati Shapadantikam Mandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Shahagana Raganatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Shahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hodhi Priye Vancha Kolpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Stokam stokam grased grasam, deho varte tayavata, grihan ahimsan atishted, vittim madhukarim munihi. So here's another guru from whom the Avadhuta Brahmin has picked up a valuable instruction. The sannyasis are meant to go from place to place and deho varte tayavata, take as much as they need only, not more. The actually, their business is to benefit the householders. When the bee when the bee alights on a flower, it not only takes nectar, but it pollinates the flower. So when the sannyasis and brahmacharis go to the homes of the householders, their job is not really to eat, but to give transcendental knowledge. Both things. The householders benefit both ways. By giving some charity to the sannyasis, they benefit, and the sannyasi gets fed. And by hearing transcendental knowledge, the householders benefit, and the sannyasi benefits by speaking. Now, this is the system. Stokam, stokam. A little, little. Deho varteta yavata. Just to keep body and soul together. Kamasya nendriya pritir labo jiveta yavata. Jivasya tatva jigyasa narto yascheha karmivi. Not to live extravagantly. The sannyasis and brahmacharis are maintained by the householders. They're like the children of the householders. But the Brahmins and the sannyasis and brahmacharis should not be greedy. Should not be greedy. Here we can get more, we can eat better, we can... That's not their business. Then they become contaminated. One time, I think here in Bombay, Srila Prabhupada was staying with one very hospitable family, and along with some disciples, and they were being treated like royally. And one day, after a few days, the householder asked Prabhupada how long he would be staying. So Prabhupada left the next day. Because he could understand that it's a burden on the householder. They're thinking, how long will he stay? Although they were very hospitable and there was no objection or no hint of any inconvenience, but Prabhupada could understand. Now it's time to go. The general injunction is that a sannyasi should not stay more than 3 days in one place. Otherwise, like fish, starts to smell. Shukadev Goswami would stop by the home of a householder in the morning at the time when the cows were milked, because every householder in those days would have a few cows. He would stop by at that time, just long enough for the cow to be milked, take a little milk, say a little something, go. He wouldn't get comfy at the householder's home. Grihana himsamatishtate. One should not commit violence on the householders by abusing their hospitality or generosity. It's not for sense gratification that the brahmacharis and sannyasis are received. It's a matter of duty, and it's for progressive spiritual enlightenment. So if the brahmacharis and sannyasis start to think that our business is to go from place to place and eat nicely, then everything becomes spoiled. Everything becomes spoiled. The sannyas ashram, brahmachari ashram, is meant for austerity, not for taking more, enjoying more. If we want to take more and enjoy more, then we'll become householders also. Householders have some license to take more, enjoy more, be more comfortable. So if the sannyasis and brahmacharis start to get comfortable and eat nicely and make themselves at home in the dwellings of the householders, pretty soon they'll want their own home. And home means wife. What is that? griham yeah na griham griham itya iti ahu grihini griham uchute. Home doesn't mean four walls and nice furniture. Home means wife. So if one starts to become attracted to home and comfort, then the wife has to come with it. And then the brahmachari or sannyasi, for brahmachari, all right, he's allowed to get married. Sannyasi, not at all. But for the sannyasis particularly, but for the brahmacharis who like brahmachari life and want to stay in brahmachari life, it's not recommended to set up camp at a comfortable home where the food is so good and the wife is so sweet and the arrangements are so comfortable. Hospitality is so warm. No. That's not the business of the brahmacharis and sannyasis. Stokum, stokum. Little, little, and move on. Little, little, and move on. Not to eat more. One time, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur would be dissatisfied to see his sannyasis getting fat. Because he would take it as a sign of sense gratification. One time, one brahmachari devotee wanted to take sannyas. But he was quite big, and Prabhupada said, he's not fit. He's fat. And he refused. Back then. Srila Shukadeva Goswami speaks very strongly against enjoying in the renounced order of life. Abhayam Sattvasang Shuddhi, Jnana Yoga Vyavastati. This is the business of the sannyasis, to be fearless. Just like Srila Prabhupada came to America, there was no great welcome prepared for him, no facilities, no guarantees of comfort. He just went. And then after seeing that he'd come to a little rural place, he went to New York, where there was even less of a guarantee of any comfort or security. Because Krishna was there. The preaching was there, Krishna was there. One time, Bhakti Charamar said to Srila Prabhupada that I wish I could have been with you in those early days in New York to serve you when you were all alone. Prabhupada said, I was never alone. My Guru Maharaj was always with me. So in this way, the sannyasi has to think that Krishna is there. I can depend on Krishna. Even ISKCON. ISKCON may or may not support me. And Krishna will support me. Not that I have to make some arrangement that ISKCON will send me this many dollars every month and arrange for my... Finally, one has to depend on Krishna. Ahimsa, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that one should not commit violence against the householders by taking too much from them or too little. In the old days, the system was to go to house to beg a little rice, a little something, little dal. Now in the present context, especially in the West, there's no arrangement for that. In the India still, but especially in the old days, if a sannyasi was going from house to house, people would understand. This is sannyasi, brahmachari, my duty is to give. He's come from, maybe brahmacharis come from the Gurukul, sannyasis come from here or there. So let me give something. They were very happy to do that. But in the modern context, and especially in the modern Western context, that social understanding is absent. Therefore, Prabhupada emphasized distributing literature.
rather than begging, because then you're in India, a beggar is like Prabhupada put on his business card, Tridandi Bhikshu, AC Bhakti Vedanta. It's like a, you know, you put LLB or, you know, all these strings of letters. Prabhupada put Tridandi Bhikshu, beggar. Beggar. In India, traditionally, a beggar in the renounced order of life is a respected position, the most respected position. But in the West, a beggar is the most useless person. Beggars are all rejected. A beggar is a beggar. Here there are beggars, and then there are beggars. But in the West, just beggars. So therefore, Prabhupada gave this program, distribute books. And same thing, as it's mentioned here, go house to house and beg some food. Go house to house and distribute books. That way the householders get some transcendental knowledge. You get some money also. And everything is complete. One should not take too little. If we just give the books out, we're depriving the householders of the opportunity to give some contribution. We should give them that opportunity. Vaisheshika Prabhu likes to explain that when he asks for a contribution, that this is the tradition, that you give something, it helps you understand the book. And that's true. It's not that we're just greedy for money. But you benefit by giving. You get more transcendental advancement and understanding by giving. And therefore, it's our duty. We ask, I'm a beggar. Please, it's our tradition. Give something. Maybe a lot, maybe a little. We don't mind. But give something. It's good for you. Prabhupada told a story that one time a sannyasi was going about begging from house to house. And from the balcony, the householders, either the lady or the man, I guess it was the man, said, there's some beggar. Give him some ashes. Give him some ashes. So the sannyasi said, yes, give me some ashes, but just begin your charity. Even if you give some ashes. So that also happens sometimes, just like the cowherd boys. They went to the yagyik brahmins to ask for some food. They were hungry, the boys, and Krishna had said that these brahmins are performing a yagya. This is the time during the yagya when they can give some charity. So go ask them. Don't ask in my name because I'm known as a Vaishya. So they won't give anything for a Vaishya. These are Pakka Brahmins. But you can ask in the name of Balaram. He's known as a Kshatriya. So the boys went, and they were refused. Coward boys. The Brahmins refused them. We're doing important business here. We're doing a yagya. Go herd your cows. So that happens sometimes also, that while begging, one is refused. All right, I'll go beg at the next place. Or I'm trying to distribute a book, I'm refused. All right, the next person will accept. But this is our duty, to go from place to place and depend on Krishna and try to distribute this spiritual knowledge. And know that I can go to any place. It's also a famous story that Prabhupada was on a train here in India with some devotees, and somehow they stopped at a station, and some friendly gentleman said, Swamiji, could you start a center here? And Prabhupada dropped off a couple of devotees right off the train. I think Giriraj Maharaj and someone else. Just dropped them off. Yes, you start a center here. no plan, no money, no guarantee, no anything. Goodbye. And they did. They started something. So this is the duties of the sannyasis and brahmacharis. It's not to live comfortably. We have a nice ashram, and prasadam is there every day at 9 o'clock, 1 o'clock, and 6 o'clock. And we just have to, oh, it's only one more hour. And also we'll go out, and the car will be there, and we'll go to a nice house. There will be a nice program. We'll do a little kirtan. There will be some very nice prasad. And in this way, we go on from day to day. Then we become rusty. You know, like the way a machine becomes rusty. And then it can't move anymore. It can't function anymore. So it's the... Therefore, Prabhupada liked to keep raising the bar. But you have to do more. You have to do more. You have to do more. He would expect more from all of his disciples, brahmacharis, grihasthas, but especially the sannyasis, brahmacharis also, they should be pushed. Like Prabhupada said one time, that they should take the temple and the brahmachari ashram and fill it with books so that the brahmacharis have no place to sleep. Fill the ashram with books. They'll have no place to sleep. If they want to sleep, they'll have to distribute the books. Yes. And that's very happy life also. Actually becoming lazy and comfortable leads to unhappiness. Leads to material desires, leads to an idle mind, leads to laziness, leads to maya. So it leads to the internet, and goes, you know, wasting time. So it's good for us to always have something, a new challenge, a new difficulty, even a new challenge is good, so that we have to depend on Krishna. How am I going to do this? What am I going to do? I have to depend on Krishna. That's good for us. Okay, maybe I'll stop here and see what questions there are.
Maharaj, very nice class. It's very clear that a brahmachari and a sannyasi has to keep vairagya as a main priority. Otherwise, people will not get respect from them. Finally, householder gets respect not by seeing the brahmacharis running here and there, but by seeing their austerity, their commitment, their sincerity. And then only we get respect for them. But then a problem comes for a brahmachari and a sannyasi, is that a stage comes in his life where his body doesn't give him support. There's a bodily problems are there. Health issues are coming. His digestive system and many other things are there, which is not helping it. And whatever the brahmachari and sannyasi they were doing before, they could not do it. And because they could not do it, so there, and at that time, what a brahmachari and sannyasi has to do it, so that the grihasthas who are having a respect for the brahmacharis and sannyasis, their respect doesn't go down. Because at that time, what they were doing before, that they are not able to do it right now.
There are two things. One is the respect that the householders are expected to give. The other thing is his own internal spiritual life. It's not just that the sannyasis have to put on a good show for the householders. So they have to look renounced or be renounced so that the householders will continue to feed them and give them money and, Swamiji. It's for their own benefit also that they're supposed to be renounced. Otherwise, how will they make real advancement? So that may happen that sometimes the body doesn't cooperate. So one may have to adjust. One may have to adjust. He can't do exactly the same things in exactly the same ways. But still he should push on as far as possible. May reach a stage where he can't even speak, can't go anywhere, can't speak, whatever. But as long as he's got some life in his bones, he should preach. The Prabhupada set the example here in Bombay last time he came. His health was so bad, they had to carry him onto the stage at the Pandal program. Two men were carrying him on the stage and they'd put him on the asan and like deposit him on the asan, you know, just put him there. And Prabhupada was his body was so weak, muscles, everything, you know, practically finished. So he was just sitting and he would have Baba Ananda or whoever, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, read something, Srimad Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada, he said, he spoke a little, that I've come to encourage you and to be encouraged by you. So then they would start reading and they would start reading and Prabhupada would say a few words. They'd read a little more, Prabhupada would say a few words. Then gradually Prabhupada developed momentum and he was roaring. He was speaking, the topic was Svavid Varahostra Karai Samstuta Purusha Pashu. Prabhupada was roaring, preaching like anything in that condition. So, of course, Prabhupada was Prabhupada. He's extraordinary. But as far as we have capability, we should maintain, we should continue to be strict in our principles, and we should continue to preach. Now, again, we may have to adjust as time goes by, but not take it as an excuse to sit back and get comfortable and so on. Obviously, it may need adjustment, especially sannyasis who are accustomed to go, you know, Tuesday to Australia, Friday to Zurich, and Monday to Venezuela, to Caracas. They can't. How they can do that at any time is mystical. But in old age, that is not advisable and may not be possible. We saw that Prabhupada did things stepwise. He adjusted. But he was not hanging back.
Well, the second point which I always feel it is, everybody has to go back home, back to Godhead. Whether it is a sannyasi or a brahmachari or a grihastha, everybody has to do their hardcore in sincerity and commitment to the Lord that he is sincere in devotional life. Otherwise, Krishna is not going to accept it out. So the same rule that is applicable even to the householder also. One day or the other, he has to see to it that his attachment to Krishna consciousness goes on increasing and his sense gratification goes on going down. So Maharaj, my doubt is, we have accepted household life because we cannot remain a brahmachari. Let us be very frank and straightforward. We could not control our senses, that's why we accepted household life. And that is the reason why we have taken all the responsibility of wife, children and all those things. But one day or the other, we have to come out of it.
Yeah. It shouldn't be like the chakravyuha where you know how to get in and you don't know how to get out.
Correct.
The householder, therefore, four ashrams are there. The third ashram is the vanaprastha ashram, which is the way out.
Correct.
If he immediately accepts sannyas, then there may be difficulties. So the varnashram dharma provides that now you start putting some space between yourself and that comfort and that family attachment, all of these things. Start just like the beginning of householder life, you build up. You start with not very much, but then you build up your career, you build up your capital, you get a house, you so many things, you start adding family members. So you're expanding. But you can't expand on and on. The Vanaprastha Ashram means now winding down. Winding down. So the vanaprastha, for example, he doesn't go to marriages and graduation parties and this and that and the other thing. That's for the grihasthas. His business is puja, seva, prachar, detachment. So this vanaprastha ashram is so important. Otherwise, one remains trapped in householder life. And in the first canto, in regard to Dhritarashtra, and Prabhupada said, to remain in householder life till one's last days is the grossest form of degradation. And he put it in italics. One should not remain in householder life till the fag end. So then what is there? The vanaprastha ashram is there.
That I understand that vanaprastha life, a householder has to accept it out. That is the way so that he can come to the final stage of sannyas or a complete detachment. But the biggest problem that happens in vanaprastha life, means before accepting vanaprastha life, that desire for sense gratification has not gone from the heart. And because the desire is not gone, we feel it that we are like an hypocrisy, we are doing it. And externally we are saying a vanaprastha, inside the desire of sense gratification has not yet gone. So how to see that we don't become a hypocrite?
Two things. One is, in householder life we shouldn't live also very luxuriantly. Because then renunciation is harder. You know, the more silk you put in the cocoon, the harder it is to get out. So, therefore, as householders also, should be lavo jiveta yavata, as much as we need, not more. That keeps things reasonable. The next thing is, it's understood that in the vanaprastha ashram there's desires. Otherwise, you wouldn't be in the vanaprastha ashram. You'd be in the sannyasa ashram. Right? There's some desire. Therefore, the wife may stay on as a voluntary assistant. There's association. Still, there's some security. Even if the vanaprastha moves out of his house and lives in a little hut, the local people bring him food. He still has some arrangement. He's not saying, I'll just depend on Krishna. I'll just give everything up. Wife is there, this is there, that's there. But he's moving away from all of that. He knows, my desires are not yet extinguished. That's why there's 25 years of vanaprastha ashram. If one can shorten it, great. But it's not a two-day ashram. You have some time. All right. Act in such a way. How do we act in such a way? The desires are reduced. Chant Hare Krishna more. Read more. Associate more with the devotees. Eat less. If I have one bedroom, make it two bedrooms. This expansion you have. If you have to expand the number of bedrooms. One for your wife, one for you. That expansion is allowed. Just to increase the distance. Some of you know Atul Krishna Prabhu from Mayapur. He was, every time when I was going to Mayapur, he has a little house there in Mayapur. He was inviting me at least once when I was there. His wife is a very excellent cook, Bengali lady. They would make a nice feast for us. So, and we would talk this and that. He would invite a few of us. Now, last few years, still he's inviting us, but he doesn't live there anymore. His wife lives there, and he lives down the road. And there's some coming and going. I didn't see him this year. He was teaching. So I don't know what the status is. But the program is a little distance, a little distance, a little distance, a little more distance. So that finally, there's not much to it anyway. There's not much to it anyway. If abruptly we try to break everything, then we may run into problems. But gradually, 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 gradually. Not too gradually, but step by step.
Raj, I'm asking a very straightforward question. The thing is this way, that in vanprastha life there is one thing that has to be very clear: there should be no sex life.
Correct.
Correct. But if the sex desire is not yet gone, how can a person can accept
vanprastha? Desire may be there. You know, I may desire to rob the Bank of Baroda. It doesn't mean that I have to do it. Desire will... What is that? One has to tolerate desires. Sashantam apnoti nakamakami. Puryamana machala prajishtam samudham. All right, desires come. You know, who can say, I never have any desire for sex? The thought never crosses my mind. Who is so advanced that he'll say that? But he should know that, what? What kind of desire is that? What is that? Yadavadi mama chitta Krishna padada vinde, the Yamuna Charja. He was a king, so he had full facility for sex. But then he renounced all of that. Then he said that since I'm enjoying newer and newer pleasure in the service of Krishna, tadavadi, what is that? Sangame smaryamane. When I think of sex life, that means he's admitting, sometimes I think of sex life. But then, mukavikar shustu nistivanamcha. I just want to spit at it. Because I'm happy in Krishna consciousness. But we don't demand no desire. Otherwise you're a hypocrite. But that desire should be seen for what it is. It's maya. That desire is maya. And maya is not our business. Atravastu Shivana. That's all. Not that, oh, I had a desire. That's it. You know, the brahmachari looks in his heart. He sees desires there. Okay, it's time to put on white. Talk to somebody about changing ashrams. Sannyasi sees a desire in his heart. He goes, oh, I'm a hypocrite. Better to be an honest householder. Vanaprastha looks, he says, I still have desires. Maybe I should just go back to being a regular householder. No. All right, desires, because we have this body and we have this mind, some desire may come. But by intelligence, one has to know that this is maya. And by developing a taste for chanting Hare Krishna, for thinking of Krishna, for serving Krishna, one has to have that higher engagement so that one thinks, I've mentioned before sometimes, one time in Vrindavan, one of the biggest mistakes of my life was that there was this little picture in a shop and I didn't buy it. What was the picture? Haridas Thakur. What's the incident? It's Haridas Thakur and the prostitute. So Haridas Thakur is a young man, he's sitting there, and the prostitute is showing off her stuff. And Haridas Thakur has this big grin on his face. As if to say, lady, you got to be out of your mind. You expect me to fall for that? Because he was absorbed in the pleasure of serving Krishna. He was absorbed in the pleasure of serving Krishna. So even Maya herself could come. Anyway, let me finish my chanting. So, in that way, by intelligence and by a higher taste also. Evam, what is that? Evam buddhe param buddha samstabhyatmanam atmana jahi shatrum mahabaho kamarupa durasana. By higher intelligence, param buddha samstabhyatmanam atmana. One has to steady the mind by the intelligence. And jahi shatru, kill this enemy, kamarupam durasana. elsewhere, asanga shastrena dridhena chitra. By determination, one has to cut oneself off from this endlessly entangled banyan tree of material existence. And one has to know also that now I'm older, what will I enjoy? What will I enjoy, you know, 50, 60? What kind of sex am I meant for? How enjoyable is it to try, you know, like, this is like the sugar cane that's been 4 times chewed and you're going to chew it again. Come on. What will be there? Yeah, not worth it. So the Varnashram Dharma takes advantage of our biological situation. When you're a child, there's no sex desire. You can just study and absorb all sorts of spiritual knowledge. When you're young, desires are strong. All right, you can get married, you can have children, you can work and build something up. And when you're old, you still want to do that? You know, the old man doesn't take pleasure in going into the office every day with the way the young man is looking forward to the challenge and all of that. It's like, oh man, I have to still keep going in there. And sex also, how much pleasure is there for an old man in sex? Because I have some back problems, I picked up what's actually a very good book on back problems here in India. And one chapter of the book was how to manage sex when you have serious back problems. You're falling apart. You know, the machine is going to pieces, and still you're thinking, how can I keep going with sex? It's like the most important chapter in the book. You know, forget it. The time is gone.
Second point, that problem comes up in a household life was that a person wants to accept a vanprastha life, but he has to fulfill some responsibility to see to it that the children, they get married.
So get on it early, Dad. Those who are fathers, this was the class the other day, those who are fathers, don't wait till the girl's 18, 22, 46. For her benefit and for your benefit, marriage should be arranged early. That's point one. It's not that career is more important, and after she's finished her studies, and after she's finished her internship, and after she's finished, then you... So while she's young, that's the first point. Second point is that at a certain point, we have higher responsibilities. We have higher responsibilities. Prabhupada mentioned that when the Pandavas left home, finally, Krishna left this world, the Pandavas left home, they didn't say anything to Draupadi, they didn't say anything to Kunti, they didn't say anything to Subhadra. They just went. The same Pandavas who'd fought the battle of Kurukshetra over the honor of Draupadi left for the Himalayas without saying a word to her. Draupadi and Subhadra, they followed. But that you can follow or not follow, we're going. Why? Because it's our duty. Just as it was our duty to protect you when you were our wife, now it's our duty to leave this world. So one has to know that it's not within my power to see that everything will all be settled up just right. This material world doesn't work that way. I have to do it as far as possible, and at a certain point, close up shop. Prabhupada gave the example that a shopkeeper comes 5 o'clock or whatever the time is, he closes his shop down. Sure, if he stays open 3 more hours, he may get a few more customers, but he closes his shop. This is what we do. 5 o'clock, shop closes. Similarly, householder life, then one reaches a suitable age, time to close up shop. Whatever you did, you did it. Your wife got this much, whoever got married, whoever went to college, whatever it was, you've done it, and now it's time for you to move on. And it may be, Prabhupada, he took sannyas, he still had unmarried daughters, yeah? And if he thought, no, I have to get my daughter married, then I have to see about my grandchildren, then I have to see, we wouldn't be sitting here. It's a matter of duty. Varnashram, dharma. Dharma, one meaning is duty. I have to do it. Who wants to leave householder life? Some people do, depending on how nice it seems or how determined they are. Some people, they're determined to stay in householder life. It's very nice. But as a matter of duty, I may like it. Oh, great, I can't counting the days till I can leave. Or I'm dreading. How can I leave? Either way, I have to go. Either way, I have to go. Pancha shortam vanam vrajet.
Sometimes the children give a complaint. This is what I've heard. It is that because my parents want to accept a vanprastha life and they have given me the limit.
Complain all you want. We'll put a complaint box in the, you know, in the ashram. You can drop your complaints in the box. The children of Mahatma Gandhi complain. Our father abandoned us. And still they put his picture on all the banknotes in the country. Right? And that was just for the country. I mean, it wasn't for anything higher than that. But for the sake of Swaraj, he neglected his family. And the family was, he neglected Prabhupada's family also. His children were unhappy. Our father abandoned us. Our father abandoned our mother. But that's duty.
But sometimes it so happens that a vanprastha life, he has accepted it, and then his health has become a little bit deteriorated. And he needs some shelter from his family members.
Therefore, number one, don't wait till you're 75 to become a vanaprastha. Don't wait till you can't move anymore. Don't wait till there's hardly any life left in the bones. I've seen this sometimes. Where someone was really serious and you could see everything, all the good samskaras, every opera he could preach, he knew the philosophy, he was just too old. And he was still in family life. There was nothing he could do. Don't wait. You know, if there's a fire, don't wait and see to how big it's going to get till it reaches the point where you can't escape. There's a time. Time has come. Time to go. And the time is, if you're 50, generally you still have some power. Now, most of my God brothers and I, God sisters, 60s, late 60s, we're all starting to fall like dominoes. We're all, you know, this one's taking a health retreat, this one's in the hospital, this one's, you know, this, that. That's what goes on in your 60s. Not everyone. Some fortunate men escape. But generally speaking, in your 60s, the old car is falling apart. It has to go into the repair shop so often. Or else you have to, you know, be content that it goes at 20 miles an hour and rattles all the time. That's what it is. At 50, the thing still runs. So don't wait till you're like incapacitated and say, now I'm going to renounce. While you still have strength. That's the idea. Not when there's nothing else. I couldn't possibly go into the office another day. I couldn't possibly do another thing. So I'm going to renounce household. Don't wait till that point. While the strength is still there.
Complaint is this way, that okay, you have gone at the early age and you went away, you did some service also. But when you become sick and when you are completely invalid, at that time you again came to the house only.
Don't come to the household. Depend on Krishna. Somehow or other, if I'm serving Krishna, everything will be provided. Krishna bhakti koila sarva karma kituhai. Everything will be there. Yoga kshema vahamyaham. Everything will be there. Guaranteed. And if not, I'll die. But I'll die anyway. As Krishna may arrange, I'll get some medical attention. I won't get some medical attention. I'll get half the medical attention. Not that I have to crawl back to my home and say, please feed me. Please take care of me. Please, please. If you need to beg, go beg from Krishna. Don't go begging from your family members. That's also violence to the family, to stay around. Actually, they don't want the old dog staying around the home anymore. He doesn't contribute anything. He's a drag. He's old, you know. Sort of brings down our fun. He doesn't, you know, it's like described in third canto, like an old ox. You know, it doesn't pull the cart anymore. It just eats. Oh, he's not really... people aren't thrilled that he's still there. So it's time. Go. And don't worry that, oh, my family doesn't take care of me, my health will fall apart. It'll fall apart or not fall apart, but I'll depend on Krishna. All the living beings in the universe are somehow or other being taken care of. I'm also one of the living beings. If I surrender to Krishna, Krishna will... What rakshasya titi vishvasho? Krishna will protect me. Moktritve varanam tata. We should have that confidence.
If we don't have that much Lakshmi to take care of the health, then...
No, not Lakshmi, Krishna. It's not... Vishvashvati, you know, Krishna will, Lakshmi will maintain me, Lakshmi will protect me, Lakshmi doesn't do that. That's the illusory reflection of Lakshmi. If you're with Narayan, Lakshmi will be there. It's a false, and even if I have Lakshmi, or I think I have Lakshmi, I have money, does it mean I won't die? Does it mean my health will be good? There's no guarantee. The richest men in the world develop this syndrome or this problem or that problem, and all they do is get to spend more money to suffer. They can go to this hospital and that hospital, and they can draw more blood, and they can try this test, and they can try that test, and this therapy and that therapy, this operation and that operation. And stretch them out longer on the rack of this world. Or they can't do anything. I'm sorry. Nothing we can do. And so often they tell them that your doctor tells you, you know, you need to lose 30 pounds. You know, why are people so sick and call you need to lose 30 pounds. You need to do this. You need to stop sitting down all the time. Who's healthy? The villagers are healthy. You compared to Bombay, the villagers are healthy because they're walking every day, they're working, they're doing everything. We have to learn to depend on Krishna. Not Lakshmi. Lakshmi will not save me at the time of death or before. Yeah.
We have not yet reached to that platform of complete faith, complete surrender. And before
so
that,
get started. We may not have reached perfection, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't start moving in that direction. No one says, I can't get married yet because I don't have a big house, I don't have a big job, I don't have money. Whatever you have, you get married and you figure I'll build it up from there, right? You don't wait till you've got all the everything nailed down. You get going and you say, okay, we'll chalego, we'll work on it. The same thing. Leaving, you know, winding down is the same principle as winding it up. Let me get started and gradually. And that's vanaprastashram. Let me get started, let me keep going, let me make further progress. And gradually I come to that point. I can depend on Krishna. I don't need this, and this. I thought I needed all of that, but it's not so.
What about the wife? She has given her life to you, and she has served you, but she might have not reached to that transcendental spiritual platform.
This is for her benefit also, and it's required. Again, the soldiers in wartime, it's not that they say, I'm sorry, but I have my wife, I can't fight for the country. They do it. Even young men. And they know, I may die, I may not come back, but it's my duty to the country. So if for the country I'll do that, why not for Krishna? And there's no guarantee that I'll be able to maintain my wife or support my wife or do anything for my wife. I may die, then what happens to my wife? I may be incapacitated, what happens to my wife? It's not that, it's, in one sense, it's an illusion. I am supporting my wife. At some point one has to go, it was my duty, now it's done. I did what I could do within householder life, try to make all the nice arrangements. Then it goes on. Sons are there, they should be trained. Now this is going to be your duty, you take it up. Otherwise, some responsible party, but I'm gone.
Maharaj, what about the cases where the couple doesn't have children only?
All right. Less trouble. Somehow or other, we have 25 years to work that out. As in a properly run society, responsible parties will take charge for the widows, for the orphans, for the former wives of sannyasis. So as our society develops, responsible householders especially have to take that responsibility. Householder life doesn't mean just a free ticket. It's an expensive ticket. You have to take care of the grihasthas, of your own family. You have to take care of the sannyasis. You have to take care of the brahmacharis. You have to take care of the vanaprastas. Because you are the earning section. The vanaprastas don't earn money. Grihasthas, sannyasis and brahmacharis don't earn money. You've got the license. You can earn, but you got to pay. So the grihasthas should organize among themselves. It's our job is not to feed the needy children of Bombay and neglect our own members. Prabhupada one time was in an airport. We were sitting and someone had brought some prasadam. So they gave to Prabhupada some sweets, whatever. Prabhupada took a little. He said, now distribute. And the devotees looked around to the people of the airport. Prabhupada said to the devotees, he said, charity begins at home. So if we want to do welfare work, charitable work, take care of people who are in need, don't go looking for where there's a typhoon or a this or a that. Start with the devotees, Vaishnav Seva. So who are those Vaishnavas? The elderly, the widows, the orphans, the devotees who are in some kind of need. They should be the objects of charity. Charity is meant for the Brahmins and Vaishnavas. You know, I've been to some temple and they've got the big, you know, trucks, you know, free India from hunger. It's all rubbish. You can't free India from hunger, first of all, because according to karma, somebody's going to be hungry always. Second, it's not our business. Our job is not to free the world of hunger. Our job is to spread Krishna consciousness. In that context, we distribute prasadam. And if we really want to give charity, it should start with the Vaishnavas. There's plenty of Vaishnavas now. We're seeing, again, everybody's falling apart from my generation. If you're looking for a charity case, there's plenty. I just happened to see yesterday, there's a Facebook page, my mother is in need of such and such, and we started collecting money, but now she needs 24-hour care and she can't go from here to there. There's plenty of such cases. Come to me, I'll start giving you a list. Those who are charitable, those who have money, those who are looking to do something for the welfare of others, start with the Vaishnavas. Charity begins at home. And we were talking about how at a certain time it's your duty, you just have to stop everything. That's that. So now that time has come and we're going to stop the class. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Glory.